excuse me, we had a little technical difficulties, pardon me. But as I was saying, it metastasized. It was as if the cancer just got worse and worse and worse. And what happened was that this monster became an identity of someone who I didn't even know. It took on its own form. It continued to mutate and got worse and worse and worse. I remember a while ago, the people who raised me in my very community, some of the women in my community told me that there was a time that they couldn't even recognize me. Not the physical recognition, but that my behavior was not a reflection of the values that they remember were instilled in me as a child. So they had a hard time being able to identify with me. But let me share a quick secret with you. Not only did they have a hard time identifying with who I was, I also had a hard time identifying who I was. If someone would have asked me, Moshe, who are you? And why are you? I would not have been able to answer those questions. Yeah, I probably would have gave you a regular, you know, a simple, what was cliche. A cliched response. My name is Moshe, and this means that, and it means this, and it means that. But I would have been very disingenuous had I just left you with that particular answer. Because the truth was, I didn't even know who I was. I didn't know that it was only a matter of time before I would find myself in a pair of handcuffs that would ultimately lead to my incarceration. And that I would spend 22 years in a state penitentiary. So it goes back to making decisions. I became known as the Moshe who was down to do whatever was required of me in the streets. We had to go do it. We got some drama. We got to go handle that. We got to go do this. Call Moshe. A very reliable, dysfunctional individual, man. As oxymoronic as it comes. But that was my story. This desire to please one's peers for fear of being abandoned and ostracized. That was me. Prison only made that experience worse for me. In addition to that, becoming a part of a gang only made that worse for me. It's no secret. Everyone knows that. At some point in my young life, I became incarcerated and became a part of a gang known as the Bloods. I would argue now that decision-wise, it was arguably one of the worst decisions that I've ever made in my life. Do I have any regrets that I made the decision? No, because I would not be here now today talking, you know, on my podcast, explaining the decisions, the poor decisions that I've made in hopes of helping others make better decisions. So I don't regret making the decisions, but it was a horrible decision that at the time I made it, it should have never been done. You know, in time, we're going to speak specifically about, you know, inshallah, we'll speak specifically about the mental and the physical, the decisions that are made, the spiritual, the social and educational, cultural, legal, political. I've already expressed that in the last episode, but we'll touch on the various facets of oppression that exist within the community, the Black community in particular, and our willingness or unwillingness to be able to overcome those many facets. I spoke last week about the physical component of our condition, about diabetes and high blood pressure, which ultimately, you know, obesity leads to these ailments and cardiovascular diseases and so on and so forth. I spoke about that. But I also intentionally left out the other part of the physical part of the community that affects us as well, which is Black on Black crime. And I noticed that being a part of that gang life ultimately or eventually led to the perpetuation of fratricide, meaning the continuous attack from one Black man on another Black man. So this is why I say arguably one of the worst decisions that I made, because it allowed me to become associated with a group that advocated this. But I'll get to that another time. We'll be able to examine the nuances of the subculture. We'll be able to determine what decisions ultimately led to me joining this group and what decisions led to me saying that I can no longer be a practitioner of this particular group. Not only, you know, because of the senselessness, but due to my own personal evolvement and development as an adult. But going back to the question of who am I and why am I would not have been able to answer that question, honestly, because I really didn't know who I was. I was struggling with my identity. I think the hard part about being able to or struggling with your identity is not knowing that you're struggling with your identity, but giving the impression that you have it all figured out. It took me a very long time to actually begin to start figuring it out. So after poor decision, I finally said to myself, I no longer want to live my life making poor decisions anymore. And neither do you. Just because you made a poor decision yesterday does not mean you cannot redeem yourself today and make a better decision. And that later on today, you can't make an even better decision. And that tomorrow, you can't make an even better decision than the previous two. Each time you make a better move, you're putting yourself in a better position. So this is what this is ultimately about to the brothers and the sisters who asked me a question regarding what the ultimate objective of this platform is for. It is to simply help us examine why we are making the decisions that we are making in hopes that we will make better decisions. But in addition to that, on a more critical level, I want us to think critically about who we are and why we are. So ask yourself these two questions. Who am I and why am I? If you cannot answer these two questions instantaneously, and I don't necessarily mean you answer them like as if you're some robot. No, I mean if you're not able to answer these questions as if some thought has been put into these questions, it means that you might be having identity issues. That's my opinion. That's not grounded in fact or anything, but it's just an opinion. But I'm only basing that on my understanding of what I dealt with and my experience with others who also had identity issues as well. Because a lot of times we think we know who we are, but who we are is a reflection of the decisions that we're making. If you're making poor decisions every day, and when I mean poor decisions, I spoke last episode about doing 100 miles per hour when you're only supposed to be doing 50 miles per hour. You then can't say to yourself, why? I'm a law-abiding citizen. I always abide by the law. I'm the best. I would say you're having identity issues. You really don't know who you are. I'm just being 100. So my point is that we can say one thing, but doing another is key. It's very, very key. So we have to be very, very mindful specifically about the decisions that we make. So this is what ultimately we're about, making wise decisions. You know, I didn't want to focus too much on the negative, because one, somebody asked me, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, who I've known for years. We've played Lindvet football together. We went to high school together. This was a very good friend of mine. He is a very good friend of mine. He asked me about focusing on a particular subject matter, which would highlight simply the negative. Because some people have, you know, podcasts, they're on YouTube, they're highlighting the negative. Oh, I did this, yo, I cut this, yo, when we used to get busy, yo, I did this. That's all right. You know, I could get to that at some point, you know, right? But then I say to myself, okay, well, what about pulling the reins back from that and then now talking about voter suppression? How do we then now attract an audience of individuals who could care less about prison war stories? Some people don't want to hear about prison war stories all day. That's just the fact. But some people want to hear about voter suppression. That's a political part of our community that is not being discussed. What about mass incarceration? The fact that it is a scourge on American democracy. Who's speaking about that? I mean, there are those who are out there on the front lines that are speaking about the criminal justice system. But I think that I have extensive experience in that regard to be able to do that. Therefore, I don't think that we should just limit ourselves just to the physical part of the community. I can speak about the legal aspects of it, rightfully so, as well as the political. But we also need to address some issues pertaining to the educational conditions in our people. I mean, in our communities. Do we need to talk about the lack of funding that is being allocated towards public schools in the community and why there was a disproportionate in comparison to white affluent communities, why the resources are not coming into our communities, why they're going into white affluent communities more so than in ours? Of course we can have that conversation. And eventually we will, inshallah. But this goes back to making moves. Again, what moves are we making and how we're making them is key. So when we speak collectively as a community. I'm going to use my experiences overall to help in that process. So I want you guys to see me using my flaws, my shortcomings, so that you can look at your flaws and your shortcomings. So we're going to do this whole mirror effect, so to speak, so that I can ask who I am and you can ask yourself, who are you? Why are you? And I can do the same thing with me. So if I can see these flaws within myself, then I can say, you know what? I need to make better decisions about what it is that I'm going to do about or in furtherance of my objectives. And you can do the same thing. So it's like each one teach one. We pick one another up and then we try to do the same thing for everybody else that's with us as well. Or those of us in our community who are striving to better themselves as well. Okay, so we have a lot of topics to discuss. We have a lot of topics. I want to bring on some guests who are going to speak about the effects of mental health in the community. What are we doing to address these issues? We know that physically, some of us try to deal with our health issues, health-related issues. And the way that we do so is that we go to the doctor. When we have a poor diet, some of us go on a diet. We start a strict exercise regime or regimen. When some of us are having spiritual issues, some of us, you know, we go to the church, we go to the mosque, we go to the synagogue, we go to the temples and et cetera, et cetera. But what happens when many of us are having psychological or emotional issues? Where do we go then? So there are areas in our lives where we're not capitalizing off of them because we're making poor decisions. So many of us need to see some psychiatrists, man. We need to speak to some people. We need therapy. But because we're not getting the help that we rightfully need, we are making poor decisions throughout the course of our lives. And I know this to be true because many of us are suffering on many levels, on a host of levels, too many to name. I was gone for 22 years. I came home as if some of my brothers and sisters many of them have not even evolved. They are still in the same condition, if not worse, than they were when I left. And I said to myself, I said, damn, man, this is serious, man. This is some serious stuff. This is an indication that we are suffering on massive levels. So these issues need to be addressed. We need to speak about these things openly. So I intend on calling a panel of individuals so we can speak about these issues. Some are formerly incarcerated men who will express the difficulty of coming home and making the transition from prison to society, and our loved ones not being able to understand how difficult that process actually is. Then there will be others who may have had traumatic experiences take place in their early years and will speak to how it has haunted them throughout the course of their lives and has contributed to the poor decisions that they've made. My point is that we're going to speak specifically about these issues to help us not only just talk about them, but talk about them so that we may seek help for them. And by seeking help, we then can make better decisions. Okay? So this is just some of the things that my audience, you know, the people out there can look forward to. Okay? So with that, I'm going to close out. But remember, you know, I like our motto says, a conscious mind makes the best moves. And what that means is that the more aware you are of your reality, the likelihood is that you will make better decisions. I hope that everybody is able to utilize this podcast for their own individual well-being. And I hope ultimately that it helps us all as we pursue our goals. But if we do not have individual goals, I hope that it can help us get to the point where we say we want to do something that will, you know, will afford us the opportunity to start making some better decisions ultimately. So with that, you guys take care. Assalamu alaikum. Shout it out, y'all. This is Moshe Canty, host of the podcast Conscious Moves. This segment is sponsored by Mighty Healthy. Listen, one of the best conscious moves that you can make is to invest in your physical health. Mighty Healthy will help you do just that. It strengthens your immune system, improves digestion, reduces inflammation due to its high concentration of antioxidants, and replenishes your body with the essential vitamins and minerals it needs daily. Go to MightyHealthy.com, and to get 20% off of your purchasing price, type in the code CONSCIOUS. Tell them that Moshe sent you.